Obviously, you guys know about Andrew and Kathy, so it's me today. And I need to say from the outset today a little bit about what's going to happen. And that is that people are going to be healed today. And the Holy Spirit is going to be releasing people today. And we're going to see his gifts at work. And we're going to see his presence at work. And if you know me, you would know that at any other time in my ministry, I would have said, I believe that that will happen. And I hope that that will happen. You who know me will know that for Joe and myself, we've had a history of pressing on with God, for more of his presence, for more of his power, to operate in that place where we want to listen to God and do what he says. And you will know that that has been a frustrating journey as well as an exhilarating journey. You may not know that we are the people who, if ever there is any sense of the presence of God and the anointing, we get in the queue for prayer. And what is likely to happen is that the person will come along and pray and pray, and this is us, and they'll just kind of walk past and pray for the next person. We're the ones who look up hopefully. And often every group is prayed for apart from the group that we represent. It's just the way it is at times. It's the way it's felt like it's been over years, and there's that hunger. Lord, bless them and them and them. But also that hunger's been growing, and that sense of God's presence has been growing. Well, on Friday, Joe and I were at the More conference. Is it More Please or More? It's us who says More Please, isn't it? With Steve and with Ken, where Bill Johnson was speaking, and Randy Clark, and those ancient Vineyarders will remember Randy Clark, who was very much involved in the Vineyard movement and was involved in what happened at Toronto. And has been on a very similar journey to us, a kind of guy who's just been struggling along and asking for more, and suddenly came to this time when God in his grace and mercy poured out his anointing on him, and he saw and has continued to see amazing things. And as he spoke on Friday afternoon, he spoke that expectation of a release of the power for healing amongst other things. And that's been one of the things that's been on my heart for well over a decade, every day, praying for a release in healing, and on Joe's heart too. And part of that great desire is to see it looks like this. We meet people, they're miraculously healed, and we go, do you want to know who did that? That was Jesus. Do you want to know about Jesus? Because he can do so much more than that. And to see not just folk in the church, but folk who are desperate and struggling come to know Jesus because of that. And Randy invited the Holy Spirit to come and said there'll be certain signs that healing may be released in you. And these signs included shaking, a warmth over the body, kind of a tingling electricity, sobbing. Anything else? I just had to check with Joe. And we managed all of them between us, Joe and myself. And this is not normal. I want you to know that it's not normal again for that. So we went for prayer, people were kind of praying down the queue. We shook a bit more and sobbed a bit more. And then Randy got us together to pray. Actually, Joe had to intervene before it ended up with being another woman as my wife, so that was a good call. are you married to this woman? And I was going, yes, but clearly it wasn't that woman. It's because I was crying. And Joe goes, it's me. So that was a relief. Well, anyway, one of the things that had happened in our ministry in England, that just to give you this historical context, because I think it may be helpful, was that we've known that God has given Joe a gift of discernment. And she's able to see into the heart at times. It's been enormously helpful in our ministry because it's been quite protective. Sometimes that seeing into the heart has been a word of warning. As I go blithely on, Jo will know and she'll say, we just need to be careful in this area or with this person. And God's really blessed her in that gift, and it's been immensely helpful. Historically, there'd also been a lot of criticism that wasn't a gift of discernment, but it was a critical spirit. Especially from people, I guess, who had to receive input in terms of what was going on in their hearts, who didn't like it. Now, bear in mind that we have never met Randy Clark ever before. We're in a context where no one knows us, no one's spoken to him, so we know it's got to be completely God. As he's praying for us, he just touches Joe's head and he goes, oh, you have a gift of discernment. And then goes, almost like a surprise, wasn't it? It was like, oh, and people have told you it's a critical spirit. But it isn't. It's discernment, and that discernment protects you and your husband in your ministry. And he just prayed to break off that lie, which was wonderful. It was hugely significant and confirming and healing. It also gave that real sense that, Randy was on the button too. That was then he spoke of that gift protecting us and how our strengths protected each other's weaknesses. And then he prayed for an impartation of healing on us, and the shaking and the sobbing and the electric tingling and the warmth all over our bodies continued. Now, as I said, I get senses of things at times, but I haven't had a sense of the Holy Spirit on me like this ever since the time I told you about when I was set free those years ago. And it just hasn't gone away. There's that sense of Holy Spirit presence in power today. And I know, this morning, the thing I know is that we have to move out in faith and expectation of what God has done and what God is doing. And I believe that what we've seen is just the tip of the iceberg. I also have no idea what I'm doing. And I know that this may well involve being a fool for Christ. But I'm really happy to be a fool for Christ. And I really don't mind if you think I'm a fool. And I really do mind about being disobedient. So bear with me. And I want you this morning to expect more. I want you to expect more. I want you this morning to press in, and even as I am speaking, to ask God to meet those desires of your heart that will enable his kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth in you like it is in heaven. I want you to do that. And I particularly feel to say that there's a number of people here today, and God's word for you is that you are half healed. You're half healed. You've experienced a measure of freedom and deliverance, but you know that work isn't complete. Now, obviously, God's grace in us is never complete until eternity. That's not what I'm talking about. You'll know. You'll know what that means. When Jesus stood up And these are classic kingdom verses and thus classic vineyard verses, and quoted from the book of Isaiah in Luke 4:18, and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He's sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He was talking about what the kingdom looked like. This is what the kingdom looks like when the kingdom is released. And then he sent the 12 out. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. When he called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. So, I just want to ask the question, who had authority to drive out demons? Jesus and the disciples. Not just Jesus. He gave them authority. He gave them authority. In his name, but he gave them authority. They had the power and authority in his name. They were to heal. In Matthew 10, verse 7, there's a bit more information on it. He says, "As you go, preach this message. The kingdom is near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." Not "freely you have received, keep it to yourself, you might lose it." Freely you've received, freely give. And many people, many theologians talk about the apostolic progression, that kind of thing of it's you know, what happens is, you know, the apostles got this stuff. Few other people got it so that they could kick off Christianity, and then it all petered out. Actually, that's not what the apostolic progression is about at all, but never mind. But next, he sends out not just the 12, but the 72. "Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you." So it's not just the 12, it's the 72. And he says to them, he doesn't say, "Pray for the sick." He says, "Heal the sick." There's a significant difference, isn't there? Let alone raise the dead. He doesn't say, "Pray for the sick." He says, "Heal the sick." And then in Matthew 28, the divine commission, the great commission, Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." Command these new disciples and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. So that's every disciple is to do the same as the 72, is to do the same as the 12. Every disciple. "And surely I am with you always, always, to the very end of the age." Hasn't stopped. Wasn't for then, and not now. It's for now, and it's for everyone. It's for now, and it's for everyone. And if it's for now, and if it's for everyone, it's for you. The logic is inescapable. Paul in 1 Corinthians said that the kingdom of God isn't a matter of talk, but of power. And if you look at Acts, and if you look at so many of the times that the church is in renewal or revival, you'll see the release of the power of God. And I don't worship a God who's powerless. I don't worship a God who's distant. I worship a God who is full of grace and truth, who is full of love and faithfulness, and who is full of sovereign power. And so I figured that part of the process of being released more in that power, he's learning more about God and learning to know him more and learning to receive all that he has for me more. And the problem doesn't lie at his end. Now, that isn't a word to bring judgment. It's a word to bring encouragement and to help faith and expectation to grow. So let me tell you a few stories just to encourage you. I was on the watching on the YouTube yesterday on CBN News. Bill Johnson had been telling some stories, so there was a CBN News item about some of the folk at his church. There was a little baby called Talia with a hole in the heart. The blood flow to her whole body was restricted, and she was in critical condition. So they got the prayer chain going, and the parents and family started to pray over the baby. The doctor, who had no faith at all, was at that point carrying out an echocardiogram. And I saw a picture of it. You could actually see what was going on with the heart. And he starts to shout out, "Will you look at that?" He said, "This heart is healing right in front of me." And the hole just closed up as he watched. And Talia is now healed. And Talia is now well. What about Chad Deadman? He was on the way to the local store where he was going to get some donuts, because that's what it's all about on a Saturday afternoon. He went in, and there was a lady he could see was wearing hearing aids. And he asked her how she was going, and she said that she had got 90% loss in one ear and 85% in the other. And he felt to pray for her, so he did. She was instantly healed, and she started to cry. And the girl at the checkout started to cry. And Chad took the opportunity of the tears to grab hold of the intercom. He said, "Attention all shoppers, God is here and he wants to release his presence and he wants to release his healing." And people came to the aisle. And there was a crippled lady who managed to work her way to the aisle, and she was healed instantly. And she ran around screaming, "Jesus, heal me! Jesus, heal me!" There was a man whose wrists were in severe pain. He prayed for him, and they started to hurt even more. And the guy's going, "It's killing me." And he goes, "It's good. This is good." And the man's wrists were healed, and Chad led him to faith. At this point, Chad realized that people didn't just need to meet the kingdom, but the kingdom God and the kingdom Jesus. And so he led 7 other people to faith. And he went home in a pretty good place, but he forgot his donuts. At the conference where we were, there are many, many, many stories. But as they were praying for folk and asking what had happened, just a little glimpse, there was one girl who was actually acting as a steward, God was at work in healing. She had arthritis in her feet and ankles, in her elbows and wrists. She was in a lot of pain, and she was trying to direct people around as the conference was going on. She wasn't listening to what was being said, and then she discovered that her wrist wasn't hurting when she directed someone, and then she felt her other wrist and it hadn't, and then her knees weren't hurting, and then her ankles weren't hurting, and her feet weren't hurting, and she was healed. There was a lady with scoliosis who felt her back realign, just felt it line up as she was being prayed for. There was a lady who was in so much pain, she just didn't know what to do with herself. She had a multiplicity of illnesses, and she felt the pain drain from her head all the way out of her feet until there was no pain at all. Randy and Bill have seen cancer heal. They've seen metal pins become flesh. They've seen bones recreated. They've seen people raised from the dead. I could just tell their stories for the next hour. And they could tell for many more hours, because we've listened to them. They did. But what about Sarah? Sarah Watson. I had a lovely talk to her yesterday. I had a nice talk to Andrew as well. And she's given me permission to share. She's back home. On Sunday, last Sunday night, Joe and I went to see Sarah, who was with Andrew and Liz in the hospital. And God directed us to pray certain things. And we could see the stuff was going on. There were prayers to stand against fear and to draw out faith and destiny. Prayers to release healing, to stand against the operation being a death sentence, and to talk about what God's call to life was for her and the calling he had on her life to move in faith that the operation wouldn't be needed. And Joe particularly had a real sense of faith for that. And so she was up and running. Now, most of you will know now that the operation they believed was necessary became not necessary, that the cyst was able to be reached and drained and is gone, that Sarah is without a major operation, without a scar, without huge recovery time. You may also know that Sarah told Amanda that she wasn't going to need the op first, and then she told other people. And that pretty much her first waking words were, "I told you. Told you I wasn't going to need the op." That's right, isn't it, Andrew? Because God was at work in healing power. And I asked her yesterday, what happened? What went on in you? From that Sunday when we came, and she was really ill and she was tired and she was afraid. I mean, pancreatitis is an immensely painful thing. She'd also had an ulcer. The thought of just dealing with that pain and knowing what was to come, it was pretty difficult to grab hold of as a 17-year-old, and to know that in the middle of year 12, the likelihood is you're going to be having a good number of weeks at a key time when you just can't function. And she said that she knew that hundreds of people were praying, and right there she got the constant love and presence and comfort of her family, which means so much to her. But she still felt alone. She still felt lonely. She still felt that God was far off. And as we prayed together, God just moved. And faith rose. And she knew she wasn't alone. She didn't have to work up a feeling. She knew she wasn't alone. She knew that he was with her. She knew that he had a calling on her life. She knew that he would heal her. And faith and expectation rose up. And it was drawn up in her. And the rest, as they say, is history. Not only that, but friends of hers who were kind of on the periphery have been drawn closer to God. Those who are searching and don't even know if they believe in God, some of them are saying, "Hey, I want to come along to that youth thing that you go to. I'd like to be there as well." God is at work here and now in this church, in this community, bringing healing. And by the way, Sarah says to expect great things this morning. And she should know. There are many more. We have stories about what God has been doing as we've prayed for folk at the Andrew Center. When you get home, look up Disneyland Revival on YouTube. Okay? You can find out where some of the folk from Bill Johnson's church decided that they were going to start praying for people in Disneyland. And about 140 of them were healed, and over 100 were led to faith. And people started videoing it on their phones. On Friday morning at the conference, we've had quite a time, I can tell you. On Friday morning at the conference, we just made some time for God to speak, and God gave me a picture. Which was highly inconvenient because I do not like being the center of attention. And I was challenged firmly. I've got this thing, and it's me. It's my stuff. I hate it when people like to draw attention to themselves. And so I get to thinking, well, if I go and stand there and give what God's given me, people are going to think I'm one of those people. It's my stuff. It's my stuff. God's graciously dealing with me in it. But he made it very clear by the fact that I was at the very point I said to Joe, I don't want to do this. God's given me something. I don't want to do it. Peter at the front spent about the next 5 minutes talking about courage. It's not fair, is it? Well, anyway, the picture was of a scale extric track, like a slot car track, with cars going round. And they were going round faster and faster. And the cars had people in them. And the sense was that the track was like church life. So people get on the track. They get healed up. They look for more Holy Spirit power. They kind of worship more. They fellowship better. They go whizzing round faster and faster in church life, thinking that they're free and this is it. This is it. I'm going faster and faster. I can worship better. I can fellowship better. Ah, this is it. Depending on the track to keep them on course, depending on the electricity of the track to give them power and to keep speeding along. But God wanted the cars off the track. For the occupants to discover that the power was in the car with them, not just on the track. That guidance and direction was in the car with them, not just on the track. I hasten to make the point that this wasn't a call to go off the tracks. And it wasn't a call to leave church. But to understand that true release comes from stepping outside the church as disciples. The power and direction and security are to be found in God. The resurrection power of Jesus, the presence of the Holy Spirit, totally loving, totally trustworthy. Security is not found in people. Security is not found in structure. It's about presence, the presence of God. And as we reach out in faith and trust that he can and will move in power in us. That's what Jesus said. Not in me, because I'm at the front, or not in the worship team, or not in the leaders, in us, all of us. Well, hopefully in us as well, but in all of us. As we overcome our embarrassment. You know, some people just don't move out in faith because they want to look cool. And they don't look cool anyway if they don't move out in faith. So that's a lose-lose situation. At breaking out of the comfort zone, then we can begin to really live. Then the adventure can begin. And it's exciting and it's scary and it's wonderful and it's terrible. And there's nothing like it. Now, that word was received at the conference as being a word for the church, and so I'm happy to bring it to you today. And I even know it had the Bill Johnson seal of approval, because I just caught his eye line and he was nodding all the way through it, so I was quite encouraged. Because he's kind of, you know, he seems to know what he's talking about. Most of all, I was encouraged that that God is speaking, and he has words of release for us. And where does this lead us all to? It leads us in the call to step out. To step out beyond what we've experienced before to the more that God has for us. John Wimber used to say, the meat is on the street. Every vineyard aficionado knows that and will have said it. At some point, the meat is on the street. He was connecting the depth of our biblical understanding and spiritual maturity and growth with our obedience and putting our faith into practice outside the confines of church and Sunday. Here's what a few vineyard folk have commented on that. The Christian magazine Kingdom Reign wrote this. It wrote about those people who find the church unstimulating or flat. We are all narcissists, it says. And in case you haven't felt insulted yet, it means that we love ourselves. Now you can be insulted. We're all narcissists and demand that the church meet our needs and the needs of our families. Our question in corporate worship is largely, what do I get out of it, rather than what do I put into it? Rather than presenting our bodies as living sacrifices, which is our spiritual worship, we present our needs and expectations like a child on a high chair. We pound the tray until we get mommy's attention. No wonder John Wimber challenged the selfish Christians of his generation when they demanded to be fed the meat of the word with the rejoinder, the meat is on the street. Part of our understanding of worship, serving, sacrifice. It's that part that helps to bring blessing and growth and depth. One Vineyard blogger wrote this. The Vineyard denomination was birthed in an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, manifest through healings, deliverance, and incredible life transformation. One person said to me that in recent times, the Vineyard had ritualized the power. This left me with a lot to think about, and as much as I would rather not admit it, I can see the point of this comment. John Wimber talked about the meat being on the streets. I can't keep track of the times I've heard that being repeated, yet I think the Vineyard is spending less time on the streets, as it were. No less hungry for manifestations of the Holy Spirit and the healing, restorative work the Holy Spirit brings. But it seems to be a Sunday thing. After worship and maybe after the sermon, certain words are said and we wait. Space is usually given. And I do see this as important, but do we run the risk of being formulaic? As the Vineyard, do we seek the Holy Spirit to move in power when we're at work, at play, shopping? It's very subtle, the Sunday, Monday disconnect. Bringing the kingdom of God into our communities, it's part of the truly connecting the message of Jesus to the way it was meant to be experienced. And finally, often people speak of the meat of the word of God. Gary Best talks about this, referring to the Hebrews 5 passage about the need to move beyond the elementary teachings of Scripture, the milk of the word, to more solid food. And they are referring to the very distinct need for all of us to progress in our biblical understanding from the shallow to the deep. But what does biblical depth look like? John Wimber was fond of saying that the meat's on the street, and by that he meant that we have never truly understood the truth of the Bible until it's become rooted in our practice. So, we know we understand it when we do it. We know we understand it when we do it. And when we do it, we grow to fully understand it. And that's an ongoing thing. We know we understand it when we do it. And when we do it, we fully understand it. So if we understand salvation, if we understand how we have been set free, we preach the gospel. And as we preach the gospel, we understand the power of it more. If we understand healing, we pray for people for healing. And as we pray for people for healing, we get to understand how to do it better. So if we're not doing it, we have to question whether we understand it. Faith is meant to be lived. And finally, Happy Lehman said, John Wimber said, the meat's on the street. That is, the meat of the word is when you are committed to living what you already know to do, speaking the words and doing the works and living the life of Christ where you live and work and play and go to school. The American Vineyard Church has recently been meeting to look at its values again and express them in new ways, because the old ways, everyone says them but forgot what they mean. So they go, the meat's on the street, but they're not on the street. They go, everyone gets to play, and then they don't play. You know what I'm saying. And they have summed them up in new ways, And in one sense, one person got up and said, they can all be summed up, at least in part, in these words. And it's not just about church, it's about wherever. Can I pray for you right now? There you are. If you can't remember all the other stuff, you can remember that. Can I pray for you right now? Because that means that we believe in the power of God and the love of God, and that he will not just minister through other people, but he will minister through us. And that we have authority and we have a mandate. Can I pray for you right now? It seems a really appropriate time to give a cricket illustration this morning.
Don't worry, I can shout.
And without making reference to any match that's going on at all, I just want to say this. There's a very big difference between someone who has played cricket and a cricketer. We've all probably played cricket. We've played virtual cricket on a Wii, perhaps. We've played backyard cricket or beach cricket. We may have played in the nets. And then there are cricket matches where you actually have to face big, hairy, hostile bowlers. Unless you play men's cricket. And then... And then it may be that you go into to bat for your state or for your country. And you know, for those batsmen, even for the Ricky Pontings, number one batsman in the world, every time they go out, there will always be a few nervy overs. There'll always be a few play and misses as they play themselves in. It doesn't matter how experienced you are, when you go out to face that bowling again, there are some nervy moments. And especially when you step up a level. But once they play themselves in, they learn to know that the early jitters will pass. Except for Bopara, the English cricketer who had jitters for the entire time he batted. And so he's been dropped. Those are my issues. And toughing it out against the best bowlers in the world and getting runs on the board, then you can call yourself a cricketer. There's a sense in which it's like that when it comes to putting our faith into action. It's got to be beyond theory into practice, growing to maturity as a disciple. Beyond watching to doing, with someone else maybe overseeing. Beyond that to leading and teaching others and taking responsibility. Beyond the church to friends, to family, to work. Beyond friends and family and work to people we don't even know. Not virtual disciples, not backyard disciples, not beach disciples, not even in the practice net disciples, but the real deal. And today, we're stepping up a level. For me, it's a bit risky. I've got a few nervy overs to face where I think I might be just kind of snicking outside the off stump. Because God's going to heal today, and God's going to release his power and his gifts and his presence. And I don't know what that looks like, but I know it's going to happen. So I'm simply going to ask that in a moment we invite the Holy Spirit to come. That if anyone has any words of knowledge about sickness in people, and you can speak that out, and then we can ask those people to stand and we can pray for them. That if anyone has any needs, specific needs, that you are prepared to ask people to pray for you. There's a couple of things happened already. But I'm going to pray. And then I want you to move out in faith and expectation. And if you're those people we prayed for at the start about being spectators, come in. If you're cynical, ask God to deal with doubt. If you're fearful, ask God to help you with trust. If you're feeling hopeless and in despair, ask God to reach to you. As the kids come in, it doesn't matter. We'll just have them around, but we won't play basketball or cricket because it's too noisy at the moment. And what I might well do is ask in a moment for Beck to just come up and play quietly on the keyboard, just some worship music. So let's pray. Everyone gets to play. Everyone gets to pray. Dare to believe. Dare to ask. Dare to step out. Let your faith rise. Let expectation rise. If God's given you a sense of what he wants to do in you, or a sense of what he wants to do for someone else, step out into that. Holy Spirit, we invite you to presence yourself with great power amongst us right now. We welcome you. Holy Spirit, come and release your gifts and let them be exercised according to your fruit. Holy Spirit, if we need insight and revelation, give it. If we need courage to step out, give it. I ask that you will move among us now in healing. Move among us in power. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.